Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I too am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, from somewhere in Middle America. Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a We recovery program because it is in the We that we discover the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest or guests like tonight. Others I'll introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join us in the discussion. The second part of the show is open mic and some great indie music sure to inspire. Tonight, my guests, I am really excited to have Dr. Billings and Dr. Gordon with me tonight. And they only have an hour, so I'm going to dispense with housekeeping until the top of the hour and get right into our interview. As the regulars around here know, I don't take calls during the interview, like to try to seamlessly get through that, and then if we have time for a little Q&A before they have to leave at the top of the hour, we will do it then. So thank you all for being here, supporting Brain Injury Radio and Recovery Now. Let's see here. Now, it might take us half the show to hear this outstanding bio, but I looked at different parts on here I was thinking of leaving out, and I got to tell you, you really need to hear this. This man has had an exciting life of service, and I want you to hear about it. Dr. Bart P. Billings has been working in the fields of human services and management for over 47 years. He possesses licenses in clinical psychology, marriage and family therapy, and has past expertise as a certified rehabilitation counselor. In February of this year, he received the Human Rights Award from CCHR International. He also has an extensive background in management and program development, which include, but is not limited to, Chief of Professional Services, Assistant Director at the University of California, Davis Teaching Hospital's Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Department, and Commanding Officer for a General Hospital Section, and has served a total of 34 years in the U.S. Army in reserve and active status. And thank you for your service, Dr. Billings. Highest military rank was Colonel, SCNGSC. He has founded and directed the annual International Military and Civilian Combat Stress Conference, 20 years, National Tri-Service Prisoner of War Conference, and the military-wide Human Assistance Rapid Response Team, which was accepted at the Pentagon in 1997 as a readiness protocol to be implemented military-wide. He was a guest on HBO's Vice News, ABC's Nightline, and U.S. News and World Report. He's been in national and international documentaries, TV news shows, and extensive radio shows discussing combat stress. He has given testimony to congressional and at state legislative hearings on the need for better mental health treatment programs for military personnel and their families. These hearings contributed to the award of a multi-million dollar Department of Defense grant for national research on how to improve treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injuries. He has provided congressional hearing testimony on the relationship between psychiatric medication and increased suicides in the military, which is available on the congressional record. He is responsible for initiating these congressional hearings held on February 24, 2010. September 2012, he lectured to faculty at West Point USMC. On June 5, 2003, he was named as a member of the Governor's Advisory Board to Patton State Hospital, California. He has worked overseeing all psychological services for the San Diego District of California Department of Rehabilitation. He has developed residential treatment programs in substance abuse and alcoholism, as well as human assistance programs for the civilian and military community. Recently, he wrote a chapter in a book for attorneys called Attorney's Guide to Defending Veterans in Criminal Court. He is a member of the National Center for Youth Law, Medical, and Scientific Advisory Board. Dr. Billings has been senior faculty at the William Glasser MD Institute for over 39 years and has taught classes at the University of San Francisco, University of California, Davis, United States International University, as well as workshops on counseling and management throughout the United States. He speaks on health and nutrition with the focus on the psychology of eating, how we choose to eat, alternative thinking, healthy cooking. Also the title of his upcoming book. As prior owner of a restaurant, he practiced his teaching, having developed an additional special light and healthy menu, as well as specials in addition to the main general menu. He was the founder and president of a manufacturing company called TBH Productions that produced Omnisonic professional audio speakers. With TBH Production, he developed a state-of-the-art, non-obtrusive professional loudspeaker that has the potential to revolutionize the professional sound touring business. He directed factory operations for 3.5 years to enable development of injection molds, writing a manufacturing manual, and developed manufacturing procedures for future large-scale manufacturing. For over 15 years, he directed all research and development, field testing, and endorsements in preparation for worldwide marketing and sales. His work with sound and vast experience in the medical field has resulted in him writing an article in the Navy Medicine Journal titled, "The Sound You Feel Can Be Dangerous to Your Health." That was January, February 2002, pages 22 to 26, which deals with vibroacoustic disease. Awarded honorary chaplain from the Georgia State Defense Force. He has also worked as a performing arts special events director, producer, and writer for over 30 years. He has directed the All-American Festival at his prior restaurant, which raised funds for veteran scholarships. From April 2010 until November 17, 2012, he owned this very popular restaurant bar in La Costa, California, drawing a large number of retired and active duty veterans who spoke to Dr. Billings about their own personal issues with combat stress problems. An article in the military section of the North Coast Times described his work with veterans and their visits to his restaurants. You can find Dr. Billings at bbillings@omnisonic.com. And I will type that in the chat room just shortly. Joining him tonight, and I'm going to bring Dr. Billings on first, but joining him tonight is Dr. Chris Ann Gordon, founder and chairwoman. Dr. Gordon graduated summa cum laude from the Ohio State University College of Medicine after completing her undergraduate studies at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She has experience in internal medicine, emergency room medicine, occupational medicine, and rehabilitative medicine, board certified by the American Board of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. Since 1988, Dr. Gordon has served as Medical Director of Rehabilitation Services at Memorial Hospital of Union County in Maryville, Ohio. Her special interest is with traumatic brain injury, since she has experienced TBI recovery both as a physician and as a patient. In 2008, Dr. Gordon was called to action. Her one-year tour of duty in 08-09 included a part-time position at the Chalmers P. Wiley Veterans Administration Outpatient Clinic in Columbus, Ohio, where she performed second-level screening for the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans suspected with TBI injuries. Her experiences with young heroes affected by TBI led to the production of a documentary to educate the military world about the signs and symptoms of the injury and to educate the civilian world about the difficulties with reintegration our heroes were experiencing as a result of their service. Her documentary entitled Operation Resurrection. In 2012, Dr. Gordon founded the Resurrecting Lives Foundation, which attained 501c3 status in July 2012. This nonprofit follows through with the solutions set forth in the documentary, promoting collaborative efforts between military and VA resources and the civilian community. Resurrecting Lives Foundation continues to serve as a voice for our heroes with TBI and the families who struggle to care for them. Again, her site is resurrectinglives.org. With that, I'm going to bring on Dr. Billings. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. I'm so happy to have you here tonight.
Well, I'm happy to be with you.
And I think I'm going to go ahead and unmute Dr. Gordon. Welcome to Brain Injury Radio. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, Dr. Gordon.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you actually told me several things about my colleague and mentor, Dr. Billings, that even I didn't know. I'm even more impressed now than I was the first time I met him, which was 2 years ago. He's a great champion for reform, seriously, in the military and the VA. So I'm glad to know a little bit more about him. Thank you.
Oh, me too. I read this and I was going to cut it down and I thought, my goodness, he's got such a stellar biography. I can't not, even if we take up half the show with this bio, for Pete's sake. So in any case, thank you both so much for your service. And Dr. Billings, I know you guys are limited in time tonight, so we're going to start with you. And we changed a little bit from when we initially talked. What I'd like to do tonight is just say, In this program, and I'm going to let you start, and Dr. Gordon, you can jump in as well. But what we talked about, Dr. Billings and I, this afternoon, is what messages in this hour, pardon me, would you really like to get out to the audience for them to hear? You both have so much vast knowledge between you that we could have this interview go on forever, but in 60 minutes' time, what would you like everyone to know most about that you two are working on? Dr. Billings?
Well, as I mentioned earlier when we spoke on the phone, one of the things that I would like people to be aware of, and I don't know if it's public knowledge, but the potential for someone with traumatic brain injury or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, to commit suicide is four times more than the general population that do not have these types of injuries. Now, one of the things you have to be aware of is that when somebody has these type of injuries, they experience problems, whether initially or later on down the line, that resemble psychological problems, depression, anxiety, and at times these problems they experience are misunderstood and diagnosed as psychological problems, and these people are referred to a psychiatrist. Well, since psychiatry, their primary treatment modality is psychiatric medication, the chances that they will get psychiatric meds is probably about 90% if they get to see a psychiatrist. And what happens at that point is they're giving a medication, antidepressants, antipsychotics, et cetera, that has a black box warning. This black box warning is very difficult to get on any type of medications. It's very serious. And the first adverse reaction in the black box warning on the psychiatric meds is suicidality. The second is poor reasoning and judgment. The third is anger and hostility, which can translate into homicide. And it goes on, depression, et cetera. Now, here's someone who has four times chances of committing suicides because of the injury itself. Now what you're doing is you're kind of adding fuel to the fire, and you're multiplying that four by no one knows how much. It could be multiplied by 2, 4, 6, 8, 16. So the chances of that person committing suicide with these medications is tremendously elevated. And that's something that everybody should be aware of. I had a recent conversation at a wellness center here in California with a pro football player who's on the Players Association, Willie Buchanan. And we discussed this, and I just kind of warned him, and I explained to him that I was on a radio show, actually, a couple different times over the years, talking about the death of Junior Seau in San Diego. When he first committed suicide, I was on a sports talk show. They interviewed me. And I did mention at the time that I felt very strongly that Junior Seau had CTE. And sure enough, several months later when the autopsies came in, it was confirmed that he had CTE. But they never really explained, and I did read some articles about him, that he was on medications that had adverse reactions to suicide. So here's a situation where you had a football player who had CTE, very popular, and his behavior and his personality started to change because of the CTE and the medications with the adverse reactions of suicide, and he did commit suicide. So that's something that anyone, any professional football player or anyone in general should know, that if you have a head injury, the last thing you want to take is a psychiatric medication. So that's the one main message I want to get across. And Dr. Gordon can elaborate a little bit more on what she's seeing in her clinics in regard to this.
Oh, well, actually, thanks so much, Dr. Bart. Actually, Kim, I don't know if there's a word in the English language to describe the visionary person that Dr. Billings is, but when I read a couple of his articles and I began treating these young men and women, and primarily men in Ohio who had suffered traumatic brain injury, I called him up, cold call one day from Ohio, and I said, you know, Dr. Billings, I've been reading what you're saying. Here's the deal. I'm evaluating these young men coming back from war with traumatic brain injury, many of them are already on medications, and about 20% of them are telling me that the medications are making them so much worse that they have these suicide ideations. I go, is this what to be expected? And not only did Dr. Billings give me a lot of ammunition for going into the VA the next day, but invited me out to California. We spent all day when he talked about his integrative wellness program that I'm sure he'll get into, but explaining exactly why those medications are the wrong thing to use in traumatic brain injury. As I had mentioned to you, Kim, when we talked in preparation for this, this evening, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have suffered my own traumatic brain injury, and both Dr. Bart and I believe that one of the reasons I was able to kind of dig my way out with a lot of work was because I was never on any of those medications. I was never on anything that caused my brain to be dulled or to be disconnected. You know, we get this great disconnect, isn't it, Dr. Bart, between your executive function, which kind of tells you right and wrong on what to do. When you have a traumatic brain injury, that part's a little bit fuzzy and disconnected to begin with, and then you add these drugs and it totally takes the thinking part out of your brain. So I agree with Dr. Bart that this is the greatest message of this evening, and that is if you have a traumatic brain injury, have post-traumatic stress disorder, get to a place, you know, call our website, get Dr. Billings, there's the American Legion, IVA, different veteran service organizations that will help you get outside of a system that is treating you with just purely medication, just trying to snow the brain. Don't you think, Dr. Bart?
Yeah, so one of the things that people need to realize is all psychiatric medications are mind-altering medications, and I like to be more specific and say they are brain-altering medications. And the last thing you want if you have a head injury is something that's going to alter your brain from getting back to normal. It's hard enough with a head injury through rehabilitation to get back to where you can start functioning and getting back to work and getting back with your families. But if you're giving somebody, when they're trying to get back to normal, brain-altering medications, that's going to really prevent that from happening. And, you know, like we both talked about, the first adverse reaction is suicidality, and patients tell you right off the bat, you know, ever since I've been taking this, I've been thinking about suicide. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I have a friend here in the Carlsbad area that we've spoken a couple times. He was a heavyweight champion of the world from 2000-2006. His name was Chris Bird. His name is Chris Bird. And the conversations we had, we met at an integrative wellness program, and we started talking, and Chris explained to me that throughout his life he was a happy-go-lucky guy, never had any problems, wasn't an angry guy, even though he's a professional boxer. And when he retired from boxing, he had an inflamed foot. And what the doctor did is prescribed an antidepressant off-brand to deal with an inflamed foot, gave him an antidepressant. Within a very short period of time, Chris was thinking about suicide to the point where his high school son stayed home from school and watched him. And he experienced anger toward one of his nephews, which he never experienced in the past. And his wife was smart enough to realize that his behavior was changing since he got on these medications. And she told him, you got to get off these medications. You're not the person that I knew. And he got off of them, and he kind of went back to being who he was. So that's a perfect example. He had no prior psychiatric or psychological problems, and these medications just drove him to very seriously contemplating suicide. There's a textbook out that I think everybody should read who, you know, if I was teaching back in the universities again, I would make a mandatory reading for every one of my students. Anybody who has ever taken a medication or has any kind of physical mental problems, it's called Medication Madness. It's a wonderful book. It was written by Peter Bregan. And he talks about the adverse effects of various medications, in the first chapter in the book, deals with an individual who went to see the doctor for a back problem and wound up short and long of it is, or long and short, is that he left the doctor with a prescription for an antidepressant, which there was no reason for him to even be involved with. There's never any reason, as far as I'm concerned, to deal with psychiatric meds, but he left with that within a very short period of time. Here's a gentleman with no psychological problems, no history, and within a short period of time, he was contemplating killing himself and his wife, and he actually drove a police officer down, broke his legs just to get his gun so he can kill himself. After it was all over, after he was in jail for a little while and he wasn't on these medications, he didn't believe that he did this, and they totally dropped all charges. He had a toxic reaction to medication. So these are examples when people say, well, of course these people are going to think about suicide because they have emotional problems. No. There are people who have no emotional problems, have no history, and once they get on these medications for whatever reason and they start thinking that way, that's a pure demonstration that these are mind-altering medications.
Absolutely. And when we talked earlier, and I'm not going to share all of that, but Dr. Gordon, I just found out today that Dr. Billings' wife suffered an aneurysm like I did, and we were talking about some of these same things, and I'm an archetype example for what he's talking about. Now, I'm not a veteran, I'm a civilian, and it all applies, I think, but as I was telling my doctors, I was deemed a success because I looked normal and sounded normal, had a successful craniotomy, but it was misdiagnosed for 24 hours where I continued to bleed into my brain, and then I was put on ice for 5 days before they did the craniotomy, and I was never given occupational therapy. That doctor was a visiting surgeon. I didn't go back to my internal medicine doctor. They never suggested that I see a neurologist or any other type of specialist, and just sent me out into the universe. And I was single, 35 at the time, at the top of my game physically, professionally, financially, and every other way. And my parents, we weren't released with any kind of a handbook of any sort about chronic brain injury and things that I might face in the future. And I didn't talk a lot about them. And a lot of people aren't believed when they talk about, when you talk about your short-term memory loss or your sensory overload or your full basket syndrome, things I have a name for now, people will say, oh, I have that. I forget things all the time. Or, yeah, I get tired too, when I have too many new things coming my way. And I don't think that they understand, either friends, family, or the traditional medical model, how it differs. Yes, everybody feels these things from time to time, but it isn't something that they wrestle with daily.
And I think
was sent
that's
that
a
direction.
Great point.
And
right.
That's
it's
the end
profound.
Of my conversation. Yeah, I
profound.
Was sent
right.
To the shrink boneyard. So. But go on. I just wanted to say.
No, I was just agreeing with you, Kim, that, when somebody says that kind of glibly, it bothers us, particularly Dr. Barton, because the patients that we are dealing with, by and large, are those young men and women with mild traumatic brain injury. So they look great. They look normal. I'm sure at 35, you looked good,
Oh, yeah.
So people are wondering, why is it, what was going on with Kim? She had a little bleed in her head. That's how people perceive it. Little bleed in her head. Why is she not, up and about? Why doesn't she have the same energy level? Why isn't she the same Kim? And it's really tough because you look like the same Kim. And like Dr. Bart always points out, that if you are somebody who is in, for instance, a blast injury and you lose a body part, or you have a scar, or there's something that visible that people can see, they always give you a lot more slack than if you actually look normal. And in truth, you may look fine, and your brain imaging from some of the newer brain imaging that they're doing right now shows like massive amounts of rips and tears within your neurons of your brain. So I think
right.
that that's a really good point, that you can't just have somebody say, well, okay, yeah, you know, just suck it up.
Right.
Come on, Kim, let's get out. You know, just go shopping.
Yep.
Come on, we're going to go all day at the mall. Why can't you handle that anymore, you know?
Right, and that's where the SSRIs come in, because then when you can't handle what was perceived as being your normal anymore, if those options aren't given, like Dr. Bart just told me today about your practice and the kind of doctor I should be seeing for the last 20 years instead of winding up where I wound up, which is your mission to have veterans and others not wind up in that situation where we're in a traditional psychiatric office taking SSRIs on top of a brain injury for 20 years in my case.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be a great thing, Dr. Bart, if you could explain that. And I'm just going to preface it by the fact, you know, in his long biography, there was the point about his being in charge of, you know, physical medicine at UC Davis. And I know to those people, like outside the medical profession, you do not realize the significance of a PhD psychologist being in charge of a whole plethora of healthcare workers, you know, MDs and speech therapists, speech pathologists, mm-hmm. occupational therapy. And indeed, Dr. Bart was a little bit, he was a lot ahead of his time and a little ahead of my training, because I went to physical medicine training lately. But he was the person who came from the psychology world and says, you know, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to use all of these therapies and very little medication and no psychotropic drugs, and we're going to get people well that way. So I would love him to talk about that. He was actually started that at UC Davis, and it caught on at various rehab institutions throughout the nation. And I think he's getting the second resurgence right now, as we're seeing that what he has been saying all along has not worked at the VA. So I would love to give him that opportunity to explain it. It's great.
Yes.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the history of physical medicine rehabilitation.
Right.
Right after World War I, the government saw a lot of soldiers, former soldiers, walking around with various physical, mental, and emotional disabilities. And the government at that time was, I think, smarter then than they are now. They were smart enough to pass an act. It was called the Smith-Fees Act, or the National Vocational Rehabilitation Act. And they did pass it in 1920. From that point on, they started treating these veterans with various techniques, from hydrotherapy, exercise. They developed physical therapy, occupational therapy, get them back into living, vocational training, psychosocial. So physical medicine rehabilitation wound up having sections within it. The sections were PT, OT, speech therapy, prosthetics, orthotics, psychosocial, vocational. And all of these specialties worked jointly together as one team, getting the person back into their life and getting them back in the vocations. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but that beginning, they reauthorized this act over and over again. I worked on the reauthorization in 1993. I wrote the position paper for the congressman who was the chairman of the reauthorization. And the program that was developed in 1920 happened to develop in every state in the country a Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. Some places they're called Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation. California called Department of Rehabilitation. And these agencies work with people who have various disabilities, including traumatic brain injury. And they are in every single state, and their purpose is to get people back into productive living, including employment. I remember at one time I learned that for every person they rehabilitate, for every dollar they spend on that person over their lifetime pays back about eight times that much in taxes. So it was a very productive, and it still is a very productive program. Now, what grew out of physical medicine rehabilitation back in 1920 over the years was a specialty. And that's with Dr. Gordon. She's a physiatrist. Most people have never heard of a physiatrist. Even medical people, when I give lectures, I'll talk about the field of physiatry. We train physiatry as residents at UC Davis. A physiatrist is a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician. A physiatrist is a physician who specializes in all these different areas, from muscle diseases to traumatic brain injury to amputations to, you know, developing orthotics, prosthetics. We even had a biomedical engineer at UC Davis who went into job sites and modified them so somebody with a disability or an impairment can function in that job situation that similar to what they did prior to their injury. So these agencies exist all over the United States. Anybody who has experienced a traumatic brain injury where obviously it's interfered with their life and their employment to a certain degree is eligible for services, and each community has an office. And like I said, it's funded by the federal government, and it's a program that people are really, you know, entitled to seek services from, and they can do anything from provide initial evaluations, medical, psychological testing, complete psychosocial vocational test batteries, pay for people's educations, pay for their equipment when they get finished with their training, clothing, and even try to help them with their placement services get a job. Wonderful organization, and a lot of people don't know about it. So that's another thing for your listeners to be aware of, that there is an agency in your community that will help you get to where you want to be in your life.
I did put in the chat room a link to a physiatrist, and it tells about it, and I see that when you Google that word, you can put your state name in the back of it, and it'll tell you who the licensed physiatrists are in your state. And I wonder why more internists and now I didn't get referred to a neurologist, but why more doctors don't refer people. I guess in my case, they were just making the assumption I wasn't going to need that kind of help, which is a pretty big leap. I hope they've learned more in the last 20 years than they knew back then. But I wonder why this isn't more of a referral. They think nothing of referring physical therapy or sending you to a neurologist. As you said, even people in the traditional medical model aren't always familiar with this term.
Yeah, physiatry became a specialty in 1937. So they've been around a long time.
But you know what? I think part of the issue is, and Dr. Bard has explained this a lot, is that in physical medicine, like when he was in charge of them at UC Davis, we are at major medical centers. Don't you think, Dr. Bard, we're at, you know, major teaching hospitals where they have a major inpatient rehab? The difficulty we have now with particularly my patient load is that we have 450,000 young men and women as a result of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars in our country right now who are the walking wounded. I mean, they look fine. They don't think. They can't balance their checkbook. They can't drive in their communities. Now, also, 50% of our all-voluntary military come from rural areas where there are no physical medicine specialists. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Dr. Bart encouraged me to do, because he knows Capitol Hill, I didn't know Capitol Hill, and he said, you know, you're there in Ohio, you're so much closer to D.C., you know, head down to D.C., get the physical medicine groups to talk to some of the congressmen and senators about this. And we were able to work that out here in Ohio for the first time, and it was due to a lot of Dr. Bart's connections and his encouragement to get an actual bill before the Senate right now. It will go before the Congress to actually test somebody in the military before they go to war and test them when they come back. And with each successive deployment, to be able to see those subtle changes that become not so subtle, blast after blast after trauma. Okay. We were also able to get for the first time the American Academy of Physical Medicine and Rehab, my specialty academy, to endorse such legislation. And when we called them to let the Academy of PM&R know that this was going on. They had no idea. My specialty had no idea that there was the magnitude of the problem that we have right now. So what Dr. Bart has been suggesting and working on through his channels and kind of pushing me out of the trenches in mine is to be able to get specialists like Colonel Billings, like Dr. Billings, like some of his specialists that he knows, to be able to treat our heroes on their iPads, on their iPhones, you know, on their computers. And this goes for anybody with a traumatic brain injury, because as you know, Kim, as I know, as Dr. Bart knows through his wife, if you have a TBI, you can't really just get up in the car and go and find your way to a medical appointment three times a week. You know,
no.
You just can't do it. So I think that the key is going to be to bring the physical medicine specialist to the patient. Don't you think, Colonel?
Yeah, I definitely do. And in the military side of it and the VA side of it, I feel very strongly that psychiatry should be removed from mental health services, because the services aren't just mental health. The services in the military are rehabilitation services, people readjusting, getting back to normal. And so many people in combat experience a degree of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, and traumatic brain injuries. And the people who should be running the programs at the VA and in the military for our veterans should be physiatrists, not psychiatrists. Psychiatrists, I spoke with one at the VA. He was in charge of a clinic in north part of San Diego. And I asked him flat out at a conference in front of other people, what percentage of the vets do you see do you medicate? And he said 98%. Now, 98%, that's criminal. And he's giving 98% of every single vet he sees a mind-altering medication, which is going to interfere with him getting back to normal. And that's tragic. Mm-hmm. So physical medicine and rehabilitation, physiatry, utilizes everything from hydrotherapy to biofeedback to acupuncture. They utilize all the physical medicine tools, and right now they call it integrative medicine, integrative wellness. Well, that's nothing more than another name for physical medicine rehabilitation. It's grown into that. They modernized the name. It's nothing more than what PM&R has been doing since 1920. And that's what I feel should be happening. Physical medicine and rehab, physiatry, should get out there and be involved in the military and the VA and running the programs. And psychiatry should be, as far as I'm concerned, booted out, because they've been failing miserably. I mean, when you have more people dying of suicide than dying in combat, why aren't you removed? I mean, in any other combat situation in the military, if you constantly failed, you'd be removed from duties. You might even be court-martialed. And when you have and any private organization, you'd be removed. Why haven't they been removed? Well, the reason they haven't been removed is psychiatry and the pharmaceutical companies generate $1/3 trillion every year peddling psychiatric medications that do not work and have disastrous effects. So, you know, a lot of times they will say, you hear the psychiatrist speaking at lecturing, and they ask, well, what about these suicides? They're terrible. And the military commanders, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are yelling and screaming, saying, you got to stop these suicides from happening. We're losing 22 people a day of veterans to suicides. And psychiatrists' only response is, well, there's no silver bullet to prevent this.
Oh,
that's the whole response. And my response to them, and I've said this a number of times, whether it's at a conference or on a radio or television show, is I say, look at the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger doesn't just have one silver bullet. He has a whole belt of silver bullets.
Right.
And that belt of silver bullets is integrative medicine. It's PT, it's counseling, it's exercise, it's nutrition. There are silver bullets, but there's not one. And the only silver bullet that they have it's kind of the old story you've heard over and over. I mean, if all you have is a hammer, everything else is a nail.
Right.
And that's psychiatry.
Exactly true.
Yes,
exactly
it is.
True. And I always say that it just cringes. I mean, Dr. Barton, I have just cringed over some of the newer solutions for the VA before this final revamp, and I really, really do hope and pray that it is revamped for the model that Dr. Bart Billings is talking about today. But, you know, as Einstein says, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So
exactly.
Why in heaven's name, when we have a program that isn't working with psychiatry involved, would you hire more mental health workers? Absolutely not with the Veterans Administration needed. Absolutely not with what your athlete needs who is injured on the playing field. And absolutely not with that young teenager who's in his first motor vehicle accident. And absolutely not what you needed, Kim. You know?
Right.
That is not what we need, because our heroes, our patients, our TBI patients are out of their brains. They're not out of their minds. And they need to be treated as such. And once you even speak to them about that, like, I know where you're coming from. I'm sure, Kim, that you've talked to many people with TBI, and because you and I did that. When we were talking on the phone, we had an instant, like, we were instant sisters. We absolutely
mm-hmm.
knew what each other had been there, done that, really, been there, done that. And,
yes.
and it's not an enviable club, but coming out of it certainly is enviable. But what we need to do is to, you know, crawl down there in the trenches and drag the next person out, you know, because they are not getting so many of these services. As I was told in the VA when I was volunteering and I wanted to bring in the physical medicine team, and I was willing to pay for it with my own money to bring in a team for a year to just show them how this would work. And they told me, no, we treat them with Paxil or Zoloft or Prozac because each of those drugs cost either 2 cents or 4 cents a day. Whereas mm-hmm. if we get therapies, that would be, what, Colonel Bart, like $100 an hour or something? The difference is you're giving somebody back their life. You're giving them back a future. If you are treating them with the psychotropic drugs, you are taking away any chance that they have. That's what I believe.
And the financial side of that is that if you start treating somebody with psychiatric drug over the course of their lifetime, it's going to cost you $1.5 million. It's not going to cost you. It's not going to cost you $1.5 million if you do integrative treatment right off the bat, because you're teaching people how to live their life and how to adjust and overcome the problems they've had in a relatively short period of time. So it's way, way, way less than $1.5 million that you're going to have to pay for these psychiatric medications. But it's all
right.
about money. It's all about money. I mean, when you're talking about $0.75 trillion a year. And the New York Times, there was an article about a year and a half ago. I can give you the exact name of the person who wrote it, but he quoted a psychiatrist from Pennsylvania who said, I used to do therapy when I was younger, and it's effective, but I'm not about to change my lifestyle or my wife's lifestyle now when I can see 4 or 5 patients in an hour instead of one patient in an hour. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically what he's saying, it's all about money. It's not about quality of care. And I'm not going to change my lifestyle. And he even said, and this is an international newspaper, New York Times, he said, you know, I force myself not to listen to their problems because it takes up too much time. I just want to medicate them, get them out of the office.
Oh,
yeah.
My golly. That, unfortunately, you know, that seems to be how so many mental health care providers get jaded. You know, they hear people who are so depressed now that they tend to blow it off. I mean, I come from a community hospital where I'm used to taking care of farmers and factory workers and, you know, the salt of the earth like so many of our heroes are. Okay, then they go to this system. If a young man comes into the VA and says, you know, I don't care whether I live today or not. I don't care if that truck outside there runs me over. Nobody pays attention to it, right, Colonel? Like, no, I'm there like, wait a minute. That is not a normal 24-year-old or something else is going on there. 24-year-olds do not announce those kind of things to the world.
No.
Most 24-year-olds believe that they could walk in front of the truck and still come out fine, you know?
Right.
I mean, we need to become much more cognizant of what they're saying to us. And one of the masters of medicine, internal medicine, the father of internal medicine, William Osler, used to say, listen to the patient. he will tell you what's wrong with him. And that's what we've lost. And that is the most important point, I believe, in taking care of anybody who has sustained a traumatic brain injury of any sort. Listen to them. Give them time to tell their story. Give them time for you to see how much that injury is affecting their life and what aspects of their life, so that you can begin, just like Colonel Bart says, rebuilding it, you know, step by step. And it is a step-by-step process, as you know, Kim. It took you, a millisecond to get into your situation, and how many years to get out?
20, I'm still not out. I listen to you guys, and what scares me more now, you know, is that the rest of the population is now going to be fortunate enough to experience government insurance like the VA and our elders have had with Medicare, and that's causing more of a push. I was talking to a Vietnam veteran today. My father was just going through it with an issue that he has. And, you know, that wait time you're talking about, my own doctor, I was telling you, has been reduced to 15 minutes. He is the archetype of the model you're talking about in traditional psychiatry. And when people are having to wait 6 months to get an appointment with a doctor who can spend 15 minutes, and they're saying the quality of care isn't being compromised, when all the time you're walking in with your protective shield so you don't get pelted with the pill du jour and patted on the ass and sent out to the universe, you know, right. Where's the help in that? And you come to rely, you know, when you come to a doctor in that situation, and I think you'll agree, being a TBI survivor yourself, as you said, we don't know sometimes whether we're on foot or horseback or where to turn at that point.
Right.
And so that's when we really rely on the medical professionals, maybe not like grandma and grandpa, that they were gods that had all the answers, but as a specialist, that we can trust them enough to refer us to where we need to be to get the best quality of care we can have under the circumstances that we're operating under today. That's what I find very scary and worrisome, and why I'm really excited about what you guys are doing and the word that you're getting out all over and being on the show tonight. We do air to all 50 states and 36 countries. This show will be immediately archived for on-demand listening afterward, and tens of thousands of listeners, more and more veterans, are listening to the program because there's more and more traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, and they're so happy to find some validation and identification just in what we call the largest peer-to-peer support group in the world right now. And you talk about the people you work with in rural areas, or even in an area like my own where there's almost a million people, but there's still not a support group then in 95 or now for people who have brain injury, maybe at the VA, but not out for the general population. And okay, and not in the VA either.
Not then, in the VA by any matter of means, no.
And
now, the American Legion.
Where we're all headed, all headed that direction. So I'm blessed and proud to be able to have guests like you on to be able to tell the world some of these answers that they're not hearing at the corner doctor stand that they're going to.
You know, it's... kind of good, but, you know, it's kind of good and bad. The VA just recently announced that they are going to hire a whole bunch more of doctors. They're going to hire more doctors so people can get better treatment. But the problem is you don't want to hire more psychiatrists. What kind of doctors are you going to hire? If you hire more psychiatrists, what's going to happen, and even psychologists, because now psychologists are wanting to get a piece of the action, and there are some states where psychologists are administering psychiatric meds. I think Illinois just got permission to do that. Florida does it. So you don't want to hire pill pushers to work with our veterans. You want to ramp up every physiatry residency program in the country, multiply the numbers entice people to become physiatrists. That's who the VA should be hiring. They should be hiring professionals, doctors, who are in the physical medicine, integrative medicine fields, not in the pill-pushing fields. And that's what I'm afraid of. Because what will happen, mark my words, if they hire more psychiatrists and say, see, we're hiring more doctors, it's going to get worse because there's going to be more medications out there. You know, in the military, I don't know how many people know this, but the Department of Defense is decreasing its budgets, and they're buying less helicopters and less hardware. But they are spending billions of dollars on psychiatric medications. From 2005 to 2011, the amount of psychiatric medication dispensed through the Department of Defense has increased just about 700%. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Tim, I was going to ask you, if you have your little blog where you've been putting little things, kind of in keeping what Dr. Billings is saying about the fact that, you know, people are going to be at kind of the mercy of whatever primary physician they have. But if there are veterans, if they can contact the American Legion office by them, I will tell you, it was the American Legion that called, literally drew the line in the sand for what was going on in the Veterans Administration. And they have a PTSD TBI committee that I've been fortunate enough to be working with, who are just amazing. They are in every single state in the union. They are in the rural areas where so many of our young heroes are. So if you could just ask them to link to that, because the Legion now has set up, I don't know whether you've seen, kind of a, Colonel Bart, based on your combat stress, you know, they've set up little mini stress centers now. They started off in Arizona, Phoenix, where all the problems were about the scheduling, and they've been to Denver and San Antonio. So if you could just ask them to link with that, and if they get anybody in the American Legion offices, then to link them to the PTSD TBI committee, and they will be helpful for networking for help. AMVETS is right behind them. VFW is right behind them. But the main one is the Legion, because they are, like, everywhere. Great.
Got it. I'll put
Thank
that on the
so
blog,
much.
And
I
just typed
that.
It in the chat. Absolutely. Okay. We appreciate that. At anywhere where we can go and get these resources that we're not otherwise obtaining, or information that we're not otherwise finding in other places, is going to be most helpful. So I appreciate that, and did put a link in the chat, and we'll put it on the blog as well.
Hey,
I know
thank
we're
you
coming.
So much,
go on.
I was just going to say the irony of it all, and I think we could all agree on this. The irony is, with a traumatic brain injury, you never, never are more chaotic in your brain, in your life, in your mind than you are with that. And that is the number one thing that you need, is to be together and focused and like literally driven through a system, because you can't fight through that system yourself, don't you think? I mean, that's why the family
right.
support and teaching the families has become just so important to all of us. So it is just such an irony to me that it is the one thing that requires a team approach and a lot of people to help you get back. And you know what? You can't even think well enough to get, you know, enlist one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and like you and I discussed, it's really hard to explain it to other people that can't see it, because
absolutely.
When you start talking about things, they say, oh, I've had that, or I go through that. And yeah, you know, maybe they misplace their keys once every couple weeks, but it
right.
isn't a daily event.
They
you know,
misplace the car.
Right, right. Every day, you know.
Right, exactly, exactly. And, Kim, I know that we're winding down, but I wanted to thank you so much. I mean, Colonel Bart and I were so tickled to have this opportunity. I mean, particularly, you know, you're in, where, Omaha? Where are you from?
Yes, Omaha.
You're from the middle of the country. I'm from, you know, Ohio. Dr. Bart is from Carlsbad, California, and you brought us all together, you know, saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a nationwide problem, and we're going to come up with nationwide solutions. And we so appreciate the opportunity to be a voice for the traumatic brain injury patient who has lost their voice. So I really, so much appreciate your getting in touch with us. And Colonel Bart, thanks so much for allowing me to be on this program with you. That's for sure. This is his fourth radio talk show, I think, this week, right? Right, Colonel?
Yeah, it is.
He's, you know, it's so interesting because, like I said, Kim, I just met him 2 years ago, and he's been, like, saying the same, like, this voice calling in the wilderness for sanity and for reason, and suddenly, like, the whole country seems to be tipping his way and listening. So I think that is wonderful. I really do.
Thank you.
And again, check out Dr. Gordon's website, resurrectinglives.org. I'll type that in the chat when I let them go in a moment. Some very interesting information on that. Be sure to check out her documentary, very touching documentary. And Dr. Billings, I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with me tonight and to talk to me.
You're welcome. By the way, there is a great documentary that people can also look at. It's called Hidden Enemy, and it talks about the use of psychiatric meds as well as other treatment in the military. It was put together by Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and you can Google their website, Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and take a look at their documentary, and it is outstanding. And it's straightforward and very accurate, historically correct. So there's another documentary that deals with this issue as well.
Yeah.
Got it. Just typing it in. Okay, documentary found there. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to send each of you a copy of a video, a song I'm going to play you out with. You'll both appreciate. I'm going to put it in the chat room for the people that want to see in the chat. But again, blessings to both of you. Keep up the good work.
Kim.
We'll be following what you're doing. And thank you so much again for being on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
Hey,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Your work.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, that was Dr. Billings and Dr. Gordon. What I would like to do for those of you who are in the chat room is I'm going to, put in a link for you, and then I'm going to play them out with, you can watch right along, audience in the chat room. And otherwise, for those of you who are on your Facebook, on your computer, if you want to go to YouTube and type in three words into the search, you'll type in Chris Dukes, D-U-K-E-S, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, and you'll be able to watch this video with us. And I'm going to go ahead and send this to Dr. Gordon and Dr. Billings tomorrow. I'll be back in 4 minutes, and we'll talk more about our guest tonight or anything that's on your mind. Sprinkle that with some indie music. But in the meantime, I want to thank all of our veterans for their service, present and past. Our freedom is because of you. God bless you, heroes.
country is so proud, you're turning hearts around. And the Lord, we're saying prayers to safely get you home. With honor, that's a hero, a motto row. That's my brother, that's my sister, standing up against the cold. That's a hero, and always know. You're my brothers and my sisters standing up against the cold. My hero, and always know.
God bless our heroes, near and far. That was Heroes by Chris Dukes. And you can find him at chrisdukesmusic.com or at facebook.com/chrisdukesmusic. Again, I'd like to thank my guests tonight, Dr. Chrisanne Gordon, founder and chairwoman of resurrectinglives.org. I'll put that in the chat in just a moment, and Dr. Bart Billings. I encourage you to check out Dr. Gordon's website and to continue to follow Dr. Billings' amazing progress in trying to switch treatment for our returning veterans more to a rehab and integrative model than simply the traditional SSRI model. You know, it's always struck me as interesting. You watch these drug commercials on television that are supposed to cure whatever, and not all drugs, of course, are bad, just overprescribed, I think. But it's interesting, and as Dr. Billings was alluding to, I think the psychiatric field has made it a chicken and an egg situation to keep the money flowing, but it's interesting that a person would have depression, anxiety, or suicidal ideation and then be prescribed a drug that has those exact side effects. Now, it doesn't seem to me like it would take a rocket science or scientist or even anybody with that much advanced knowledge to figure out that that's probably not a good idea. But that's what we're relying on our professionals to do. It's less work, more money, and we need a change. One of the things that I say is I don't get involved in politics. This show is Recovery Now. We talk about various tools of recovery, but there have been some things that I've talked about the last few weeks, a couple of which have happened in my family, my own experience, hearing things like this on the radio from my guests, both on the show and my callers, and that's we voted for a new health care system because the old one was broken, and I don't think anybody argues that the old one was broken. But we voted out of desperation, and now we're all paying for any inefficiencies we thought there was with Medicare, Medicaid for our elders, or the VA for our veterans. We now all have the pleasure of experiencing. With 3.5 new brain injuries a year being diagnosed, and we see how many go undiagnosed or with the wrong diagnosis, we're talking a lot of people out there that can formulate a very large voting block and can make a difference on this issue when it comes in. I think we made the wrong decision in fixing our health care system, and some changes need to be made. We need to find those candidates and change the road we're going down right now, because it hasn't worked effectively for the veterans, Medicare, or Medicaid for years, and it's already showing adverse effects to the general population as we speak. And so keep that in mind. I won't get on a political soapbox tonight, but your vote does matter. You know, there might be one person out there who thinks that their one vote doesn't matter, but you put it together with 3.5 million people this year times the last 10 years, plus all the people that know they've got something wrong but just haven't been properly diagnosed yet. Those people all make it to the polls, and you're going to hear an impact, especially at a time in history, which is now, because of the veterans and the NFL, two large special interest groups, the light is being shined on brain injury all over the world. I've had guests from all over the world talking about tools and research regarding brain injury, and we're finding it in the newspaper every week and on the newscasts every week. More and more talk about the effects of concussion, cumulative concussive effects, the effects of brain injury, new knowledge about things like what I went through and Dr. Billing's wife went through, and broken, patched up, look normal, off to the universe, and you're going, wait a minute, what in the heck happened? I'm not that person that I resembled once. And you see a big dark hole, a void with a question mark in your future. And that's where we lose a lot of these people, both in the veteran population as well as the civilian population, is in what I call the tweener stage, where you can't go back, but you don't know how to move forward. You don't have appropriate assist or support to do so. And it gets so hard for so many people that they just give up. We need to help stop that from happening. And I wanted to read you two things real quick. One of them is off of Resurrecting Lives. And sorry, let me find it here. Well, there was another thing, but I do want to give out the number for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, which is 8255. I also, that's for vets in crisis and others in crisis, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. This would also be a good time to mention the Brain Injury Support Line, and that is 4, the number 4, peer, P-E-E-R, 11.org. And I've got a little memo to read you. The host on before me, the second and fourth Wednesday of each month, Dr. Lori Fatel, I'm sorry, the Science of Happiness, is the director of our support line. Do you know someone who has suffered a brain injury, concussion, contusion, occipital injury, closed head injury, traumatic brain injury, acquired brain injury, anoxia, hypoxia, dementia, tumor, stroke, aneurysm, amnesia, Parkinson's disease, brain cancer. A survivor support line is now available to provide telephone support to those who suffer from all levels of brain impairment. 4Peer11 is a survivor-run, funded, operated, and managed emotional helpline. We do not give medical advice, but we do have two compassionate ears. We who have survived some form of brain injury or were a survivor who is significant in the life of another survivor. The number to call is 855-473-3711 or 855-4-PEER-11. Live operators are available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If a call comes when an operator is not free, please do leave a message. Messages are returned on a regular basis. And again, that's 855-473-3711. We get a lot of calls on here with people wanting the opportunity to be able to pay it forward. Maybe they can't go back to their old career, but they would like to be involved in some kind of service. They'd like to help others who have had brain injury. Perhaps they have trouble with mobility or they can't drive anymore. They don't have a support group in their area. Maybe a lot of things that they can't do. But one of the things I think anybody with a telephone can do is volunteer for the support line. That 9 to 9 time slot that I read to you was supposed to be and is going to be, if it kills us, a 24-hour support line, ultimately with your help. And since I started doing this commercial every week, we've got a number of you that have stepped up to the plate, want to go through the training. Yes, you are trained about what we do and what we don't do. And number two, your personal information is never given out. The calls do not ring to your phone. It goes through an intermediary number that then is rung to you. And whether you want to volunteer 1 hour a month, 1 hour a week, 4 hours a month, any time that you feel you can sincerely commit to, because we don't want it to be just like here on Brain Injury Radio when we put on a new host. I feel like we hosts are the keeper of the keys to the room that has the support group meeting. And when we don't show up, and a survivor, particularly a new survivor in need, shows up and we aren't here to help them, that we're failing others and ourselves. That's why we try to get someone to pinch hit for us or download. We should all, hosts, all learn to download former audios. In demand now, we have over 900 episodes with a variety of different hosts on a variety of different topics about brain injury. So if you're someone who feels like you've been isolated, polarized in your recovery, have lacked the appropriate support, and felt like you were terminally unique or the only one going through the often agony, I know, despair that we go through, listen to those shows on demand or tune in. Brain Injury Radio is on seven nights a week with more than seven different hosts. We've added an additional platform, an earlier platform, and so we probably have about close to 20 hosts now on Brain Injury Radio. So if you listen to one show and there's something you don't like or you don't quite click, first of all, I would encourage you, whether it's a live support group or Brain Injury Radio, one of the programs on here, that you never make a judgment off of one visit, that you come at least 3 to 5 times to any given live support group or show or slash shows on Brain Injury Radio, because what we're looking for in recovery are the similarities, not the differences. there are a lot of differences, and we all have a unique story in getting to where we are. But the reason we're all gathered on a show like this is because we have something in common. We've either had a brain trauma of some sort, multiple brain traumas, or we're caregivers of people who have had a brain trauma or a brain disease. And that puts us all in the same vessel, knowing some things that the people in the general population doesn't know. And that is good for two reasons. First of all, we know that we're not alone. There's a lot of others fighting the same brave fight where we can get information and support. And where others out in the community and in the general population can get education and learn about awareness and advocacy about things like brain injury. We have shows, for example, Thursday night in the early platform, it'd be 5 o'clock Pacific, the Empowerment Zone. And they talk about, well, the first Thursday of each month is Ken Collins. The second Thursday of each month is Constance Miller. I believe they're both, well, I won't venture to guess on their ages, but I will say that they have been pioneers in the disability civil rights movement for many, 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 many years. They go back to a time where they would see people who had things like epilepsy or other types of neurological disorders be what I now know to be called warehoused, just put away because they're different. And society as a whole couldn't handle different. And the treatments weren't there. And so they just locked these people away in institutions, threw away the key. That's exactly what they've been trying to change for decades. Sometimes feeling highly frustrated at the way that that's going, and other times having the victories as they move down that road. And we're happy to have all of our hosts, but particularly hosts that have been at this for a while, because I believe, and Les Paul, our Tuesday night host, and a few of the other of us believe that this is the time to shine, for us all to make a difference and to be heard. Whether you're talking to your brain injury association or alliance in your state, which is primarily, from what I hear, involved in advocacy and awareness, not so much support for families and current members of brain injury, except for the fundraisers a couple of times a year, but not on a day-to-day basis. Being able to go and talk to them and to talk to them about having resources like a link to Brain Injury Radio on their webpage, very small thing for a web designer to add, but could make a huge impact for the person in that state. The number and the website to 4-PEER-1-1 for those that are trying to reach out and talk to another survivor. Chances are that survivor isn't going to have to spread a lot of pearls of wisdom. The most important thing they're going to do is answer the phone and listen. Because that person wouldn't be calling if they felt they had been heard in the other venues in their life. They need to be heard now. And sometimes that's the greatest gift you can give someone, is to listen without judgment, without an opinion, and just hear where the other person is coming from. I think too often we're groomed as a society to find the answers for other people or to venture our opinions on what the right answer would be for someone else, and we're not in their shoes. We don't live their life, breathe their air, fight their battles. So who better is going to know your story than you? And what that takes for somebody to learn about that is for someone to care enough to listen and for you to be heard. Our founder, Craig, will not play that song for me very often, or allow me to acquire that song. But a song of his is called Can Anybody Hear Me? Give or take a word. Can anybody hear me? And I know I've felt like that more than once in my life. And I know a lot of you listening out there have felt that in your life before. And I want to, in fact, I want to take just a moment. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt between my on-air people and my in-the-chat-room people, but I want to do a little shout-out here. Thank you, Robert, Anthony, Sarah, Mary Ellen, Tracy. We have a couple of guests. I know Les Paul's out there listening. Allie's out there listening. Brandon's out there listening. So I see quite a few of you out there. I know a lot of the rest of you are out there listening and just haven't logged in tonight. And again, I want to thank you for your support to me, my guests, my show Recovery Now, and most of all to Brain Injury Radio. I think I'll go back for just a moment, a little of that housekeeping that I did not do earlier, and then I'll start taking some of your calls, is thank our sponsors. I want to thank our sponsor, TBI Survivor Network, for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio. I'd like to thank Tracy Ann Miller, who is a producer for our show, does an awful lot of, she is really our right arm, left arm, whatever the appropriate terminology is, in helping us get, like, for example, on LinkedIn, our Brain Injury Radio group administered, and turning us on to guests. Tracy really gets out there and does a heck of a job networking, and also knows a lot of people in the field of alternative medicine and that are doing some amazing things. And so I really want to thank her as well. Of course, I want to thank Lash Publishing for sponsoring my show, Recovery Now. Lash & Associates is the leading publisher in brain injury, blast injury, PTSD, and concussion. Be sure to check them out at lapublishing.com. When you get to lapublishing.com, you'll see a notation for Brain Injury Journey, Hope, Health, and Healing. Now, Brain Injury Journey is a magazine that debuted a year ago, April. It comes out four times a year, and you can buy a paper copy of the magazine, a subscription to be sent to your home four times a year, did I say, for $28, or if you scroll down, you can get the free, can't beat the price, online version of Brain Injury Journey. So I encourage you to do that. There's an extensive section for caregivers, survivors, more and more information for our veterans, and anything from survivor stories to tip cards to help you if you have problems with memory, how to start a support group, concussion education, all kinds of valuable information. And one thing I have not suggested before that I'd like to suggest to you guys out there is y'all go to the doctor from time to time. And in our quest this year, 2014, to educate more people while the spotlight is on the topic, and we don't want to miss the window of opportunity, heaven forbid, is to get this magazine into our doctor's offices. I noticed the other day sitting in a doctor's office, they had Cat Fancy magazine. Of course, they all got People magazine, so we can read the dish on all the celebs out there, which I'm old enough now, I don't recognize half of them anymore, and a little bit of good housekeeping in case we want to focus on recipes while we're out being a nervous wreck about that appointment we're going into. But something that might be really helpful, and I think most of our doctor's offices can afford the $28 a year, is to have these subscriptions, a subscription to the magazine, and the magazine itself, put in our doctor's offices, as well as places where support groups meet. If your support group has a kitty and it can afford the $28 a year, then you can bring a current issue of the magazine to your support group meeting, your fundraising event, and again, I think those doctor's offices. It appears from all of the doctors that I've been around lately and those far more evolved that I've been having on my shows, this kind of information is needed not only by the survivors and caregivers, but by the medical professionals as well. So to have Brain Injury Journey magazine in the doctor's office or around the caregiver meetings or the survivor support group meetings is a great idea. So help me spread the word. Again, that website is lapublishing.com. The numbers. I want to give you guys the numbers, and then I'm going to start taking some of your phone calls, and in between we'll play a little bit of music. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9540, or you can call toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., 855-473-3711, or outside the U.S., 202-559-7907. Again, 424-243-9540. We have a show on every night at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, and most nights now, and we're working on filling the rest of those slots at 5 p.m. Pacific, which would be 8 o'clock Eastern time, and that would be the show right before our original 7 with a half hour in between to change microphones. So be sure to tune in and listen to some of those shows in the earlier platform. Before me, I'd like to at least encourage our original hosts to find out who the shows are on before you. Because when we need to go on a vacation or take a break, yes, we can put in a tape, but we can also give an opportunity for one of our newer hosts. Us original hosts have been around for about 2.5 years now. The newer hosts have been around anywhere from, we have two starting next week, the beginning of August, to people who have been here since last October. The programs before me on the first and third Wednesday of each month is Dr. Robert Couvant, who has Shaken Not Stirred. He has Parkinson's disease and is treated at the Ali Center down in Phoenix. Dr. Couvant was a foot and ankle surgeon for 25 years of his career, and in his early 50s diagnosed with Parkinson's. So he's in a place where cutting edge studies and information is coming out on Parkinson's disease, and he is early in his disease and has had some really fantastic guests. Doctors have a way of being able to do that, don't they, with other doctors? And I think that's just wonderful. So again, that's the first and third Wednesday of each month at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. On the second and fourth Wednesday of each month is Lori Purdy Fatel. Again, she is the chairperson on 4 Pier 11, and she does a show called The Science of Happiness. And she talks a lot about attitude and alternative means of treatment that I think you'll come away feeling positive, learning some things that you didn't know before, of course, and just have an uplifted feeling from hearing Lori. She's a wonderful host and a great steward for Brain Injury Radio, or TBI Survivor Network, I should say. Okay, I have a hand up out in the audience, and so I'm going to pick up area code 202. You're on the line. Is this Allie?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Allie? Haven't heard from you for a while.
It has been a while. Life for me has been really hectic as of late, but I'm happy to be back on, listening in the audience, and also being able to be heard as well. I've been in the hospital, and just I had a number of personal challenges to deal with, and I wanted to chime in with regard to the topic tonight. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but when I tuned in, I heard.
Allie? I think you might have muted accidentally. Oops. Allie's call dropped for some reason. Okay. Oops. Allie, call back in. For some reason, your call dropped. Either you ran out of juice or those Martians are flying by again, and I apologize for that, but I will pick up your call just as soon as you call back in. You know, one thing I want to do while we're waiting for Allie or anyone else to put up their hand out there, well, two things really. One thing, going back to my guest, and then we'll move on into the second half. One thing I mentioned, but he actually sent me a copy. Many of you know that Mikel Vega was a guest on my show a number of months ago. He was a Navy SEAL for, I believe, 23 years, fantastic guest, and is now a superhero in the movies. And there's a YouTube miniseries called Black Ops, and Mikel has been in Transformers 3 and 4, I believe, a couple of other movies, and he's using that as a means to fund a similar type of awareness as Dr. Billings and Dr. Gordon, and that is to get our veterans off the SSRIs and into some alternative treatments that don't so often lead to suicide, things like yoga. And Mikel is very big into yoga and nutrition. He won this CCHR award as well. There were three people that won the award for 2014. Mikel was one of them. Dr. Billings, one of my guests tonight, was one. But Dr. Billings sent me a copy of his letter, and I just wanted to read it to you. I thought it was quite an honor. This is the, for those of you that don't know, Citizens Commission on Human Rights International. This letter came from the Office of the President to Dr. Bart Billings. CCHR's Human Rights Award has been given to many distinguished individuals who share a common goal to improve human rights. This has included dignitaries and government officials from the United States, Italy, South Africa, and European countries, attorneys, educators, journalists, and whistleblowers. This year, CCHR would like to honor you with our award for your decades of work with the military and veterans, including obtaining the congressional hearing into the relationship between psychotropic drugs and violence suicide, which is remarkable. In fact, you were one of the first professionals to take up the issue and expose the link between psychiatric drugs and the tragic increase in suicides among soldiers. This has continued to raise media attention and therefore much needed public awareness. Your commitment to improving the lives of our fighting forces and vets is truly commendable. This is also evident in your establishment of the annual International Military and Civilian Combat Stress Conference, which for more than 20 years has provided an invaluable venue for healthcare professionals to share clinical expertise and integrative treatment approaches. You have provided hope and real help, for which you are greatly thanked. Sincerely, Jan Eastgate, President, CCHR International. So I thought that was pretty cool that he sent that and thought that you folks might enjoy hearing it. Again, that's the Citizens Commission on Human Rights International. This is comprised of science, medicine, and health professionals, many different medical commissioners, people in the field of law, and many people that you'd recognize in the field of arts, entertainment, and media, education, and religious affiliations. So kind of across the board. But a couple of these folks on the arts, entertainment, and media, Kirstie Alley, sorry, my eyes are going a little blurry tonight, must need new readers. Have quite a few of them on here. Karina Rico, Cass Warner, Ann Archer, Jennifer Aspen. So Jenna Elfman, remember her from, what was that, Dharma and Greg? Was that the name of that first sitcom we saw her on? Anyway, again, congratulations to Dr. Billings for that award this year, the CCHR award, and thank you for sharing the letter with me and the audience. Now, what was that second thing I was going to do? Ah, at the beginning, they were asking me, Dr. Gordon, I believe, was asking me about where I was from. And as you guys know, I introduced myself as the Hump Night host from somewhere in Middle America. And people ask me from time to time who aren't regular listeners of the show, where is Middle America? We know that Les Paul's from South Carolina and Kevin and Craig are from the Pacific Northwest and Matt's from Indiana. Where is that Middle America that Kim is always talking about? And this is the answer they usually hear on this show. And that might give you a clue. Omaha, Nebraska. While I'm talking about Omaha, Nebraska, a lot of you know are sick of hearing as much as I am sick of experiencing the fact that my husband Gary and I moved recently into a new home. And it is, I was going to say into a new house, but it's shaping up more and more every day into a new home, and I'm excited about that. And today, one of my indie musicians who many of you know, and then I'll come back and pick up calls, was here today. And I have felt very blessed to have him here. I mentioned that, and again, I'm not going to get on this soapbox again either, but we were talking about customer service and the failings of customer service in this day and age from what some of us 50-somethings were worth in the old days. If you didn't have customer service that was pretty dang good, you didn't have a business. You didn't last in business very long. And now it's almost a value added if you get customer service to any degree. I worked with about 20 different professionals through the course of the move, from movers to remodelers to all kinds of things. There were two, count them two, out of about 20 who did what they said when they said they were going to do it, exactly how they said they were going to do it. Now, I'm not going to make a judgment, but I'm going to tell you that one of them was a Chinese outfit here in town, did a beautiful job finding a product that a dozen other places couldn't find, delivered it in perfect shape, when she said, how she said. The other person was my painter, and in view of the guests that we had on tonight, John qualifies to be on this show in so many ways, and many of you know about him already, but for those you don't, who don't, John Cruz is an independent musician from my area. He's also a charter member of our group now with an inoperable tumor on his brain stem. He's a heck of a painter, and he's a veteran of Vietnam. We also want to thank John for his service today, not only in Vietnam, but God bless him in finishing up our basement today. And so I'm going to play you what I consider his signature song, although I love so much of his music, and I know a lot of the rest of you do too. But this was the first song that we all heard. It's the first song that I heard, and then it was the first song that all of you guys got to hear. And this was in back of some tragic loss in his family. It isn't as if he hasn't been through enough, but one of the things that happened is when he was a child, he had a twin brother, identical twin. And that was back before they did all of the safety measures on cribs and high chairs and baby car seats and all of that sort of thing. A lot of us can remember standing up in the car while our parents were whipping around the city. There weren't seat belts. And now there's all these rules. And John's twin brother, when he was a baby, the high chair was bumped, fell over, and this baby hit his head and died of a bleed, very young. Later in John's life, he went on to find the love of his life. They had a daughter, Lindsay, beautiful young lady with beautiful grandchildren for John. And when she was about 3 years old, I think, her mother was brutally murdered. And John raised her on his own. And this talks a lot about his character, his stock. And while I thank all veterans, his participation in the United States Marine Corps. This is John Cruz with Palm of Your Hand. Semper Fi. Sorry. I do want to sorry. Say I'm sorry. This is what I meant to say.
Like a jewel
bless you, John Cruz. For those of you listening, if you'd like to listen to more of John's music or maybe even buy a song or two, grace him with that whopping 66 cents they wind up letting him have out of the cut. Check out reverbnation.com/John Cruz Blues, and that's C-R-E-W-S. Across the board, his sites are the same. Website, johncruzblues.com, facebook.com/johncruzblues, or buy or listen to his music at reverbnation.com/johncruzblues. And I think we got Allie back, so I'm going to grab her, and not sure, like I said, if that was aliens or she lost her juice for a minute, but we got you back, Allie.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, the gremlins are at it again. I have bad reception. I don't know what's going on with this phone, but I called you from a landline. Thank you so much for acknowledging me and picking me back up again.
Absolutely.
But as I was saying earlier, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Yes, good.
Hello? Okay, great. As I was saying earlier, great, thank you. I have just had a whole litany of personal challenges going on in my life, and I would put forth that many of us within the brain injury community who live as a survivor of one form or another of brain injury also live with perhaps a secondary mental health challenge. So that puts us in a really challenging predicament, because in an effort to alleviate the adverse symptoms of just day-to-day management of something that we often feel is beyond our control to fully corral, we gladly look towards perhaps the gifts of modern medicine, whether it come by way of some type of psychotropic med or through some type of herbal remedy to help to ease the conflictedness that we may feel with all we may be dealing with or not. But I'm feeling like I'm not able to think clearly right now, but the bottom line is it puts us in a really challenging predicament, because while there may be issues where part of the side effects may be suicidal ideation, what does one do? Because to try to white-knuckle our way through life without that assistance isn't exactly an attractive alternative either. So I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's something that I've also been dealing with as of late, too. And it's really challenging. And then you can get down in the rabbit hole trying to figure it all out and distill out, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg, and how do I go about remedying the problem, and how do I basically take on the role of my own case manager, and then you're in your head without adult supervision when that's the source of our challenges to begin with, and it just becomes a real tangled mess.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really hard, and when they're on, I love it when we have guests like that come on and validate. I mean, these are pretty, and not, I'm really kind of a person who looks at it that we all put our pants on the same way in the morning, if you want to put it that way, and I'm not oohed and awed by movie stars and things like that. I'm pretty much a people are equal kind of person, but, you know, these, especially Dr. Billings is a very powerful person with a lot of exposure, a lot of years of experience under his belt, well-respected in the military and around the world. And when people like him are coming out, and I felt very fortunate, you know, I was reading in his credits, he's been on HBO, been in documentaries, ABC News, Nightline, 60 Minutes, and here he is on Brain Injury Radio, you know, on Recovery Now, on this show. I felt very blessed that both he and Dr. Gordon were willing, you know, I've called on some doctors like, well, I could, well, I won't name names tonight. I guess I'm not feeling that way, but some night I probably will. Some doctors that I've called about being on the show, and they're just much too busy and self-important to even return calls. And with some of the guests that I have had on in the last 2.5 years, some of these other doctors should be ashamed because, you know, they haven't had near the experience, exposure, or insightfulness. They had just done something, maybe a test, you know, a study that they're overseeing or something like that that has piqued my interest. So, you know, I called to see if they would be a guest, and they weren't necessarily interested in coming to talk to our group. Now, I don't know, you know, if they're just, like I said, too busy and self-important, or if they don't think the funding would be available here, that it's worth coming and talking to our audience, or if they just don't know enough facts to come and talk to an audience full of experts, you know.
Right, with lived experience, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So when they said yes to me, Dr. Gordon and Dr. Billings, I was like, yes, this is great. You know, some people that are really out there getting attention and then, you know, coming here to spend time with us this evening. So I'm very grateful for that tonight, and I'm grateful that they're out helping us. When you get people of this caliber out there helping us work on our own behalf, it isn't us alone anymore trying to do it. And it isn't where regular, ordinary, traditional doctors can just shrug you off as, you know, another one that needs to be relegated to the shrink boneyard, punt, you know, you're out in 15 minutes. It's hard to ignore tens of thousands of people coming out and some very credible, high-ranking doctors, military professionals, and neuro professionals that are coming out and saying, especially the ones who have become TBI survivors themselves, and having them come out and say, "My God, I was taught and I practiced these things on this amount of people in my career for 25 years. Now in the last 1 to 3 years, and I'm using two former hosts we had as examples, this is part of their story. Now we're survivors for our own reason. One became a caregiver and one a survivor. And they turn around, it's got to be so hard to turn around and look at a 25-year career you put all your stock into, and now that you're the patient, you question 80% of what you were taught and what you've been doing.
Wow.
And then to have the schmaltz to come on here and talk about it and help educate the doctors coming up through the ranks, and the patience on how to advocate for themselves, I just think is an amazing gift.
Huge. It really is huge. And it's very validating. And, you don't feel as invisible as a community because you're getting validation outside of your own cloistered community, you know, as people saying, "Hey, I get it. I've been there," even if it's indirectly, because one of your guests' wife had a brain bleed or something. What happened? An aneurysm?
Dr. Billings, when I talked to him today, I was talking to him, and it was really interesting because before, I talked to him before when I was booking the show, and I had read his bio, thought that he would make a fascinating guest, and he suggested Dr. Gordon, they do some work together, and he really wanted to get that physiatrist label out there, because it sounds like a lot of us need to be seeing a physiatrist and not a psychiatrist or some of the other options that we're out there seeing. And I don't know, is anybody out there, show of hands, anybody ever had been referred to a physiatrist, let alone heard
of it before?
I've worked with
a physiatrist. Yep,
you have.
And he wrote up the protocol for the types of services and professionals that I needed to work with as part of my treatment team. And this was about 4 years ago when I first came into the knowledge that what was really at the foundation of my challenges were all due to brain injury-related stuff. And so I had forgotten that I had had all these brain injuries, and, oh, my gosh, this must be what's going on, because through the process of elimination over decades, really, it's the only thing that makes logical sense when you look at the constellation of symptoms that I grapple with each and every day. And oftentimes
right.
it feels like they're winning, you know.
Yeah.
It really does. And so he was the one that basically wrote up a prescription that identified the speech-language pathologist, the neuropsychologist with whom to work, the psychologist, and I think that was it. But unfortunately, the facility that I'm currently seeking services at, one of the top facilities in the country, very well renowned, they've not seen my case, and they've not really been able to help me in any appreciable way. Is significant and measurable. And so I'm now having to transition over to another set of services. And making that transition is really tricky. It really is. And just trying to basically, what's the word? I guess procure that degree of services and more on a different scale of service providing is really challenging for those of us who have executive functioning difficulties, such as myself. So
right.
I don't know. We'll, and then it feels really, really anxiety provoking to leave the known and the comfortable for the unknown, when even though you're not really gaining a whole lot from it from a therapeutic and clinical standpoint, what we do gain from it, at least for myself, is structure and routine, and it adds to that, which allows me to feel bolstered up and supported, even though it's not the right tool for the job. But because of the consistency and the regularity of that interaction and that whole community there, where it's a safe space and everyone there is in rehabilitation of some sort or another, it's a bit daunting to consider leaving what you know and what's welcoming and familiar for the unknown, not knowing what could be waiting for you.
Right.
And you've got to piece it all together all over again. So
I agree.
That's kind of where I am.
It's tough. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're back. I didn't think you had gone on another tropical vacation, and you don't have to tell details, but are you okay?
I am.
You,
I'm on the
you
mend
mentioned
for
sure, you.
And just a lot of stuff has been coming out, and in finding your own voice, and you can probably relate to this, in finding one's own voice and speaking up and speaking one's truth, sometimes the truth either angers people or it confronts them in a way that allows them to stand in their truth and to really shine forth in their beautiful, authentic selves. And so you don't really know how that truth is going to land on individuals, but when you're making a commitment to yourself to live a fully expressed, authentic life, it can rock the boat and it can create this ripple effect within your family,
awesome.
Especially if, you know, you're the only one who's taking on that stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I wanted to ask you, how are you and your sister?
Wow, what made you ask me that? I mean, what inspired you to ask me that? I'm just curious.
I've turned into an empath after my blow to the head. No, I'm just kidding. You,
apparently, because it's amazing that you'd ask me that.
Yeah, just, she and I have for the first time in our lives had a major. What did you say, Kim? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I just said it just came in my head.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've become extremely intuitive also, having had 6 brain injuries, and so I pick up on a lot of things as well. I don't always speak to it, especially in a public setting, but yeah, the irony is that for the first time in my life, my sister and I had a major argument, and it really rocked my foundation because now it's got me questioning almost everything that I know around allegiance, and I feel a sense of, and it's a term that I kind of came up with, and perhaps it exists elsewhere, I don't know, but betrayal of allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you feel like, how can you stand with that team and you're my sister kind of a thing, and just seeing how triangulation can happen even in your family, even if you have a really wonderful, loving, and supportive family. It's just one of those things where I'm now realizing how, even as an adult, that whole family systems dynamic can really wreak havoc, and it's just kind of eroding the foundation that I'd always felt was in place, that I've stood on with great confidence and assuredness, but now I'm having to challenge myself to erect a whole new structure, and it's far more solid. It's far more properly, I guess, established. The right equipment, the right tools, the right people are in place. You know, it's almost like erecting a foundation, but you don't have any rebar there. You know, and it's not been through.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so it compromises the entire structure. And sometimes instead of continuing to put spackle on the walls and patch this up and put duct tape on that, you know, sometimes it's better to just knock it all down, do a demo job, and then start over. And that's what I feel like I'm doing in my life.
And sometimes that's good, clearing out the wreckage mm-hmm. of the past, and being able to start over instead of building on a foundation which might now be wavering. You know, I look at this isn't a brand new home. It's an older home that we moved in, and I look at certain things that we want to fix, and first you've got to reinforce that foundation, and then you mm-hmm. can build mm-hmm. the new on top of it instead of,
right.
you know, continuing, you know, to not do so, I guess, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, I see, I think this might be Les that could be joining us. Let's see. Is that you, Les Paul?
Oh, I think it is, ma'am. How are you doing? It's me.
God, I cannot believe how you do those voices that are so not you.
I know. I'm like,
you're so convincing.
Oh, I think it's me, but I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. You're good.
Well,
he
how
is.
Are you doing, everybody? And first of all, Kim, I just want to say hats off to you. Throw in the towel. And you're just so awesome. I just want to thank you for all you do. You get high-caliber guests, and you have high-caliber survivors come on, and you just keep on keeping on no matter what. You had to fight with your router and all that stuff. And did you forget your brain aneurysm survivor? How dare you do such a good show? You know it's not allowed.
I just thank God that whatever the ghost was or the technical difficulty of Saturday and Monday went away for tonight, because I would have just been devastated. And just real quick, like, and I won't go back over the story, but for any of you that were there for my hit the wall Saturday night with the technical difficulty, I had on Sean and Stephanie. Sean's trial did get delayed,
okay,
which is the good news. So he might have another run at not having to go to prison, but on the bad or not so good end of that, he was found competent in those tests, which isn't going to bode well. And apparently, and this is a conversation for another night, is just, you know, you can seem normal 1 minute And it's too bad he couldn't have been coached a little better. And I say that in all honesty because it isn't meant to be deceptive, but it's what you see one moment isn't necessarily the truth of what you're going to see or what is real in a person who has a brain injury. So if you catch somebody on a good day and you do their evaluation, then basically they're screwed in this guy's situation. It's going to take a miracle, which I know they happen, so we'll see.
Yeah. You pick three different days on the same brain injury survivor or maybe three different hours, and you might get three totally different reactions from the same person because it's that extreme, the ups, the downs, the roller coaster we've been riding on through life. But, you know, a few moments ago, I forget what you were saying. I actually was typing something, and I stopped when you called me on. And this is what I was typing. I wish I would have taken a wrecking ball to the past and paved a new future earlier in my life. It took me a long time to break down the chains that were holding me back and the shackles that were locking me up that I was creating in my own mind and doctors and people and family members and people who thought they knew they were the best and they were the worst. And all these invisible walls we put around ourselves, and listening to your guest tonight is an example about cracking that code and just saying, you know what, we're survivors. We've been through it. We know far more than the people that are sometimes considered the professional. And there's cases like your guest tonight or others that they do know what they're talking about, but sometimes it's like, did you just say that to me? I can't believe what you said. I've had that so many times, it's ridiculous. It's like, what? You think that of me? Really? You don't know what I think of you then. But we have to create a survivor nation of people who really care about each other. The reason I was so late coming to your show tonight, I was actually listening while I was driving. I probably drove 60 miles tonight. I was going all over the CSRA area, which is a large area, trying to buy a gift for a special person that has really done a lot to help me and our support group and a lot of people, because tomorrow's that person's birthday, and I didn't get their gift to them until just a while ago. I looked that hard. Their birthday is now. And they've done so much that I said, okay, Les Paul, it's time for you to do something for them. And I would like to see everybody out there. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It could be if you've got a lot, and most people with brain injuries don't. But go out there and just treat somebody really, really kind for the heck of it, just because you can, or tell them you love them. And this person was crying when I left with joy. Les Paul, you think this much of me? Really? And I'm not trying to brag on me, but we have that power. And I think we need to turn the tables on the people who didn't think we were ever going to make it. And I didn't mean to get talking about that so much, but and your show is just so great all the time. I enjoy being on your show as a guest, and not as a guest, I mean calling in and listening is what I meant to say. So thank you for this great show tonight.
You're welcome, and in view of that, and then we'll see if anybody else wants to call in. I'll let you guys talk some more, but when you said that, I read some of these things periodically, some of you've heard before, but I believe we learn through repetition, especially those of us with brain injury, for God's sake. Repetition squared. So this has to do with one of the things that you said, and I try to do these, and I try to say for every deficit or residual that we might struggle with, we're always in a quest to find balance in our life. We might not be able to wipe the slate clean of some of that stuff that we're going to have to deal with or have been dealing with for a long time in our life. Let's leave the hope door open on the other end. But these are a couple things I try to look at. Well, there's 12 things. They're the just for today's, and I know a lot of you have heard them, but just for today, I have a choice. Number one, just for today, I will try to live through this day only, not tackling my whole life problem at once. I can do something at this moment that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will try to be happy, realizing that my happiness does not depend on what others do or say or what happens around me. Happiness is a result of being at peace with myself. Just for today, I will try to adjust myself to what is and not force everything to adjust to my own desires. I will accept my family, my friends, my business, my circumstances as they come. Just for today, I will take care of my physical health. I will exercise my mind. I will read something spiritual. Just for today, I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anybody knows of it, it will not count. I shall do at least one thing I don't want to do, and I will perform some small act of love for my neighbor. Just for today, I will try to go out of my way to be kind to someone I meet. I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Today, I will have a recovery program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will stop saying if I had time. I will never find time for anything. If I want time, I must take it. Just for today, I will have a quiet time of meditation wherein I shall think of God as I understand him, of myself and of my neighbor. I shall relax and seek truth. Just for today, I shall be unafraid. Particularly, I shall be unafraid to be happy, to enjoy what is good, what is beautiful, and what is lovely in life. Just for today, I will accept myself and live to the best of my ability. Just for today, I choose to believe that I can live this one day. The choice is mine. Now, I love to read that because I know that that's the truth and that makes sense. But when I read a couple of those items, my conscious mind is saying, what an order. I can't go through with it. What do you think, Allie? Are those all just easy catches for you all the time?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I didn't know my mic was open, but I'd love to know the source of that. That's awesome. I mean, it's so freeing and inviting. It's almost like the essence of the words are saying, come hither.
Yeah.
Try me on, because I don't know what that's like just for today. And I mean, just in that first stanza, I mean, it basically powerfully said it all in that, you know, just for today, basically don't try to take on the magnitude of all of your problems or something to that effect, just, you know, for today or something. What, can you repeat that line, please?
Yeah, I can.
That was powerful.
Yeah, this is one. It was number one.
Without prompting, I feel like I don't even remember that that's an option, you know, so that's great.
Oh, I know. That's why I like I said, that's why I like to read these over, because I will get a mental checklist, you know, of all the things I have to do, and then I'll start getting jazzed, and then I'll get anxiety, and then I'll get tired, and then I'll have more chronic pain, and it's chasing my tail. And
yep.
So I like to read, just for today, I will try to live through this day only, not tackling my whole life problem at once. I can do something at this moment that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime.
That's
so
wow.
That goes back into the one day at a time, you know, kind of thinking is I can be unrealistic and put down a list of 12 things I want to get done tomorrow, but if it's an unrealistic expectation and I can only do one or two of those things without it really costing me for the next 3 or 4 days, by either my character defects or residuals flaring, have to spend time in bed not doing as good of a job on whatever I need to do the next 3 days because I pressed the envelope too hard on this day, then I need to be realistic one day at a time with what I can handle. And what I was reading out of Allie, and I talked about this, and I take passages out of here from time to time only because nobody can find any holes to poke in this. This is out of, and I'll find the website, but you can Google Emotions Anonymous International. And the reason I select that book is because obviously the granddaddy of all the 12 steps was in the early 30s with Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of people who, for whatever their reason, are going to automatically take offense at that program and that thing. But 179 groups have been formed, spawned from that original 12 steps. And one of them is Emotions Anonymous, and they have a book I highly recommend everyone get, because anybody who would find fault in some of the other programs, one thing you can't deny is that you have emotions. So I'm kind of... I'm backdooring you with this 12-step program a little bit, you know. And we all got emotions. You can try denying that, but you're not going to get as far as maybe with some of those other things that they have programs for. But Emotions Anonymous has been around since 1978. So their book has been around for a long time, and it talks all about emotions and whether it's from a brain injury or just that you have challenges with your emotions. Again, it doesn't matter chicken, egg. We all have emotions, and we can all use help because we're human beings with how to deal with our emotions most effectively so they don't help contribute to any illness or challenges that we might also have playing a refrain in our life tapestry. Anything we can do, he talked about bullets earlier. Dr. Billings, you know, was talking about the cowboys and more than one silver bullet in the belt, and I talk about arrows in the quiver. I say that all the time. You know, you got to have more than one arrow in the quiver of recovery tools. And so I like this Emotions Anonymous book, and they also, you can also buy this, I think, in regular bookstores, your Barnes and Noble and probably Amazon and place like that. But they have their big book, if you will, that kind of talks about the concept of the program. But then one of the things that I read to you guys a lot about, I use a lot of different meditations to read to you folks from time to time, but lately when the packing did it, I came across my old Emotions Anonymous book and their daily meditation book called Today. And I think they're both really good books. And last time I looked, an EA book was like $8 or something. So I encourage you to check it out. You can just, again, like I said, Google Emotions Anonymous International and you'll find their website out of Minnesota, and if I can find it before we're off the air, I'll put it up there. Or if anybody can't find it on your own and you have a question, you can drop me an email at inaflash.org and I'll send you the link.
And what's the title of the big book? It's self-titled Emotions Anonymous,
EA, it says on front. Okay. Emotions Anonymous. And there, but I think you can buy, like I said, I think their book is probably available. I mean, if a person went to Amazon, I'm going to do something real quick. Bear with me, audience out there. Emotions Anonymous. I always have trouble with that word. Okay. Emotions Anonymous. I'm going to put in the website the link for their organization, and then I'm sure they're going to tell you where you can. Wait a minute, that was the video for heroes. I'm sorry, just a minute. Must be getting tired. Okay, we'll try this again. There, here, we'll do it. It's emotionsanonymous.org, and I'm going to put that in the chat room for any of you that are just listening. Emotionsanonymous.org, and they will tell you a little bit about that program. I'm sure you can buy the book online there, but I have a feeling, like all the other 12-step books, you can probably access it on Amazon or your local Barnes & Noble, or have your local, I'm really all for your local independent booksellers, not so much for the monster Amazon and Barnes & Noble, as much as there's things I love about them. I like to support independent bookstores or the organization itself, because these are all nonprofit organizations, and I'd rather see them supported than am a monster. But anyway.
Hear, hear to that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's just powerful. And is it like this is a daily meditation? Is this one of their 12 steps, or what is
it's,
this that you're
there's
reading?
There's two books. The one I was reading you was their main text, and that tells about their program, and then it gives personal stories of people who've been challenged. But the first part of it just kind of gives the skinny on what the objective of their program is. And so it's actually the nuts and bolts of what their program is about. That's what I was reading out of just then. The second book they have is a smaller daily meditation book called Today. And it's also from EA International, so they've got their bigger book that talks about what the basis of the program is, and then they have a daily meditation book as well, and it all deals with emotion regulation. So a lot of us, I've heard, and I was glad that I found that book when I was unpacking some things, some boxes that I hadn't seen for a while, because I realized that we all have emotions, and they're one of the things that challenge us the most. And a lot of things can play into that. Our brain injury can play into it, being all my acronyms, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, that can play into it. You know, the how of recovery, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, those things can play into it. And so there's the weather, you know, other circumstances, what goes on with other people in our life, and our level of people pleasing or codependence, how much we're going to be personally affected by what's going on in the lives of someone else that we're powerless over. There's so many things that affect our emotions that, like I said, it's just another arrow in the quiver. But again, if you don't mind, I see we have a couple other hands that have come up, and we'll ask area code 831. Who do we have on the line? You're with Allie, Les, Paul, and Kim.
Anthony.
Anthony!
It's the one and only.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the... To go way back to the initial diagnosis of depression, or even a physical diagnosis, the doctors don't know to ask, are you exposed to Wi-Fi? Because that will radically alter everything. I know from personal experience, I had a tumor in the right side of my chest, and I was like, that's really bizarre.
Wow.
I've got to go see my doctor about it. And I never even associated it with Wi-Fi, and even though when I did it at my desktop, the router was on the right side of this, with the monitor pointing right at my chest, and I didn't even think of it. And then I turned off the router for some, I'd watched some YouTube videos, and I think I need to be more involved than I have been. And so I wrapped the router with foils so it couldn't broadcast. And the tumor in 13 days is basically gone to about half the size it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing, Anthony. And I heard Les Paul told me that since we had that talk on that, I won't say ill-fated, it was a good fated as it turns out, because you've really gone to work on it. But on we were talking about cell phones on a Saturday night and the damage and that cell phones can be doing to us, and that there's four major kinds of tumors, brain tumors, that are developing in people a lot younger and a lot sooner, frequently is what I mean, a lot more frequently and at much younger ages, and they're linking that to cell phone usage, which is basically putting out the same kind of electromagnetic pulses as the microwave and anything else.
Well, actually, the BBC did a study on had a cell phone tower in a schoolyard. They measured the radiation from that tower. And then they went in the school, which is converted to Wi-Fi. They found the radiation levels were 5 times higher.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, ooh. And anyway, the children are really susceptible to that radiation because their skulls are thinner and they have more fluid in their brains. And it's like there are future, and what are we doing? We need to protect.
Well, and their brains aren't developed, and you're talking about just the building itself, not even the iPods and the iPhones and all of the technology they're using as toys and learning aids that they're using at home. So it's not just the building that they're spending most of their time in for school and after school programs that are emitting these dangerous magnetic waves,
it's
but then they're going home and putting the cell phone to their ear when they're 3 years old, and their iPod, you know, in their ear when they're 3 years old. And that's why they're finding more and more studies are finding, instead of people, you know, in their 60s and 70s developing traditionally these kinds of brain tumors with more frequency, it's happening now to teenagers and people in their 20s, which was unheard of before, especially with such frequency. And so you read the studies, and as people do, they're going to see, Les and I noticed that if it came from a cellular company, it was inconclusive, and if it came from scientists, it was normally some validity to it. But then there was even some crossover that made you a little curious about, you know, but then I finally came to the bottom line of, as long as there's so much controversy, there's something to it, because otherwise it wouldn't be a controversy. It would be case closed. Yeah. So there's something. Yep. And people are proving it out all the time, and that's really sad that it's going to have to be kids. I think for any of us, you know, when we were young and had a brain injury, we wouldn't wish it on anybody, but particularly a kid, because they're using a cell phone when most of us are old enough to remember our moms hanging on the landline for hours at a time talking to her best girlfriend, you know, roaming around the house.
Yep.
You know, and then we read that thing that said every single, and still nobody's gotten back to me with this, but where it said that every single cell phone sold has in the small print in their little booklet to hold it a certain ways away from your ear. And they don't tell you that. Yeah, they don't tell you that when you buy it. Nobody reads the small print in their book, and who in the hell would ever think of that after watching three generations on a telephone putting the phone up to their ear? Who would even guess?
In fact, pushing it to your ear.
Yeah, pushing it to your ear, holding it with your chin. Who would even guess you're supposed to hold your cell phone, you know, 5 inches away from your ear?
It's like we're born with one attached to our head.
Yeah, exactly. And having it clipped to our person, at night, listening to it right at our bed tables, you know, our bedside tables with our earbuds, listening to music. And there are times when I've had chronic headaches when I don't normally get headaches, and it was from the excessive exposure to electromagnetic frequencies. So I said, I need to kind of go on a little cell phone sabbatical or a hiatus for a while, and it rectified the problem within, like, I don't know, hours. And I would bring the phone near my head again, and then it would start to radiate the pain, and then I'd move it away from my head, and then it would subside. So every now and again, I'll go on an EMF sabbatical or hiatus where I'll just kind of get away from it. And it's been said, don't go to bed with the cell phones any closer than like 4 to 6 feet, you know, because you're literally bathing yourself in that radiation. And it's very dangerous, cumulatively speaking, and it really gives us pause. What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing?
Where the handle cell phones like that is you have to turn them not just off, but hold down the power switch till the thing just totally shuts down. Then
all the way off.
Yeah, and then...
And then you mentioned about the aluminum foil. I knew about that in actually blocking EMFs. And you can also create like a little bunker, so to speak, and have it overhead in that way.
I have a question. How many people turn their modem off at night? I turn mine off every night. I don't like leaving mine on. Think about it. You're letting those fields just come out of it if you turn it off.
Well, I have my modem permanently disabled. I mean, we'll never have it use Wi-Fi again, but it's got other, you know, connections for Ethernet cables. It's like, well, if I move my laptop across my apartment so I can get an Ethernet cable under it, then I can do that. And that's what I'm going to do.
But you'll just basically be plugged in using the cable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like there's this thing on Brain Injury Radio titled Death of the Information Generation, meaning the Wi-Fi stuff. It's like, well, now it's going to be the conversion of Wi-Fi to cables. Because Wi-Fi does not work. It works, but it's got drawbacks that are really, really severe. And people didn't know to ask questions when they first came out. And now they're knowing. Yeah. And now they're knowing, hey, maybe we should not do this. But it's like the companies are really invested in more, and the major router manufacturer that I won't mention the name, but they're going to have to take down all their Wi-Fi routers and put them into a direct Ethernet cable connection. And it's like, it can be done, and it's more difficult, and so goes. It's like, it's more difficult, but it doesn't have the drawback to Wi-Fi.
Right. And one more thing, Allie, we talked about, and then I do have one more caller, and we're down to 15 minutes, but was to not carry the phone on your person, which is quite a trick. But one person suggested that what she does is, if you remember in the old days when you had film for your camera and you didn't want it to get x-rayed, you'd go and buy a special kind of camera bag, and that would keep that radiation away from it. And so a suggestion that was made by one of our listeners when we talked about this on a Saturday was to buy a camera bag and put do not carry those cell phones in your pocket or on your person as much as possible, and perhaps even put it in one of these camera bags to help deflect some of the transmissions coming out of it. And then we talked about another thing that I'm going to try to get the person on as a guest, whether this particular gadget is for real or not for real. Companies are thinking of products. One of them is called Q-Link, and it's the letter Q-Link. And you can Google that, and it looks like a pretty cool space-age pendant for a woman, or probably some kind of a pin for a man, and it's comprised of coils that supposedly
do the
same thing.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Think about, I've been thinking about this very thing. It's like, okay, say someone discovered some new sunscreen, and you could protect yourself sun by wearing this sunscreen pendant around your neck. Would you believe them?
Well, no, but as the evidence starts getting weighed, I'm like you, though, Anthony. We don't have a computer or a modem or a TV in our bedroom, and we did get a clock. I've been having more headaches lately. I've been under a lot more stress. That could have something to do with it. But a great gift. I thought it was a great idea anyway, and I got one for my dad, and I'm going to have to talk to him about it. And then somebody got one for me for my birthday, and that was an alarm clock, you know, that goes on the nightstand right next to your head, next to your bed, where you can charge your cell phone. I usually plug my cell phone into my computer, which is in another room, and charge it overnight. We don't really have anything in our bedroom, you know, that's giving off that kind of stuff. It's kind of a feng shui zen thing. I just believe the bedroom should be in the back of the house, and it's a place to sleep, and none of that energy should be going on. I've kind of always been that way. But when that charger thing came along, and I thought it was going to be handy to have that charger, you know, you can just go into bed and stick the charger in your alarm clock and let it charge. I'm not so sure. You know, there's been a lot of weather changes, and like I said, I've had a lot of extra stress from just the day-to-day stress, but I've been having so many more headaches, and I'm considering the last several nights, I haven't been using that. I've been taking it back in and plugging it into my computer, and so I'm going to try testing this a little bit too, unless Paul and I both, and then I got to let this caller on, but we're talking about after that Saturday night show, we were scared to death. We were both carrying our cell phone at arm's length way out here going.
I'm still sitting
like
in places and forgetting it because I've
I know,
so far
it's
away
like
from
a
me.
Serpent. You know, we were like,
it's like the devil's in that thing.
You know,
devils in the details.
Off or put it in a foil bag.
Yep.
In a foil
all
bag.
Right.
I was thinking about we need to come up with Brain Injury Radio's foil bags for the with the label on there for the
that
cell phone.
That would be a good idea.
Or
well, that or even whatever.
Then turn on a couple times a day. Check your voicemail, then turn it off again.
Yeah.
Right. And at least, you know, you have it for emergencies.
You know,
you have it for
exactly.
Emergencies. And that's really what we wanted them for in the first place, was not so that we could never pay attention to the person in front of us because we're too busy texting or taking phone calls or driving. You know, we
but
got
darn,
those,
everywhere I was today. Everyone was on their cell phone talking everywhere. I mean, I didn't see anybody not on their cell phone with it crammed in their ear, laughing, giggling, acting silly, and forgetting the world around them, bumping into each other. I mean, it was hundreds of people with cell phones stuck to their heads. I was thinking about all those EMFs. I think, wow.
Jesus, set times. Gosh.
Yeah, you can almost see the tumors growing while you're sitting there.
Yeah, in 10 years, what is going to happen?
I think the cell phone companies are going to genetically alter babies so that it will grow on the side of their ear, and they'll have one mounted on their ear. Just kidding.
I think that, human race is going to either figure this one out or make itself extinct.
Yeah.
Because
we're trying really hard.
Really bad.
Well, yeah, and they're saying, the scientists say, even the phone companies that are saying it's inconclusive, part of the reason they're saying it's inconclusive is just that they're contending it takes 8 to 10 years to fully develop these detectable cancers, and so it doesn't mean that it's not valid right now. It just means it's going to take 8 to 10 years for it to show up.
You know what I say, and this is just saying this, I just wanted to say this. You know they have a lot of data that is not being shown to the public that has far more serious problems that they've known about for years. And they're probably having to talk to their attorneys and the towers and everyone in between say, oh, God, they're catching on that this is really bad stuff, but we're making a lot of money. It's like our drug. And, oh, well, people might die. Well, that's a liability.
Yep.
We've got insurance for that.
Yep.
And we're expendable.
Well, there are, a certain amount of unintended consequences. You know, people they're going to be able to let go until there's too many, and then people take notice. I think you brought up the best analogy, Les, and that was cigarettes. You know, cigarettes, you know, were the thing for everybody to have and do and be cool and be with it and all of that stuff, and they had the evidence.
Man.
They had all of that evidence. Okay, you guys, hang on just 1 second. We had area code 765. We have just a few minutes left, but I didn't want to leave you hanging there. Is this Brandon? Sorry, we can't hear you. Can you speak up?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, very well.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Kim.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Physiatrist. I had a scientist physiatrist when I left Parkview Hospital after a month. I was there, but when I got an outpatient, I had a physiatrist I saw about every 2 weeks, and it went to 4 to 6 weeks. But he was in charge of the whole outpatient rehabilitation. And I just wanted to check that out. That was like 3 hours ago. You were talking about it. And I think you were talking about it a couple nights ago.
Yeah, well, tonight, the guest was about it. So did you find that you benefited from the physiatrist? Was that something that you found helpful?
Yeah, very professional and a different thing than putting you on medications.
Super. And who did you say referred you? Again, you're right. I asked earlier for anybody to put up a show of hands who had been referred, because I never even heard of this, let alone got referred to anybody. What kind of an outfit referred you, or did you find this place on your own? I didn't catch that.
I would put the key person as my stepmother, Jeanette. She's been involved with microfish and storing things in digital form, but she's a research phenom. And,
super.
She's getting these from a company, but she's like working with the public library now and just trying to set up for retirement. I work, you know, 25, 28 hours a week. So, yeah, I contribute that to her.
Good for her. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And it, like I said, I think, and Dr. Billings said it earlier, not every treatment is for everybody. But, boy, when you're at the end of your rope, to have one more option to try is a real blessing. So thank you for calling in and letting us know that. Brandon, always good to hear from you.
To hear the professionals speak about it is just amazing.
I know. I think so, too.
Tonight, and it's like, wow, it's like they're all second-guessing themselves what they've been studied or trained to do when they, you know, were first entered their field. And it was kind of a guy at the end, at the bottom ranking that this is how you do it. This is what we do, you know. I don't know.
Right.
But it's great to hear your guess, that's for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Brandon. And I'm going to have to put you on park, folks. We're down to just about 5 minutes left in the show. I want to thank everybody who supports Brain Injury Radio, who is here tonight for Recovery Now, and my wonderful guests, Dr. Billings and Dr. Gordon. I really appreciate them taking time out of their busy schedule to join us. And survivors, callers, and guests, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be supportive and to join me here on the radio. I really appreciate that. Again, thanks to Lash Publishing for sponsoring Recovery Now and TBI Survivor Network for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio. Next week, let's see, it's August 6th, and somebody that you guys have grown to love, a guest of mine that went over so well the first time she was on, I had her back a second time. You guys loved her again, and so I tried to get her to take on her own show, but she won't do it. She'll just come back to mine about every 8 weeks and share some of the many pearls of wisdom she has, and that's Dr. Maria Romanis. She'll be back talking about brain injury moments next week. And the weekend after that will be Steve Almond, who is in the middle of the fray with the NFL right now by writing a new book called Against the NFL. And some of you might have seen the picture that I posted on the Brain Injury Radio Facebook page and on my In a Flash page of our dog Libby with a curled lip and a football. And I thought that was a pretty funny picture, so it would be a nice kind of a plug for that particular show. And because Steve Almond is a New York Times writer, a serious fella about this particular subject, but a really funny guy, so I thought he would appreciate that picture of Libby as well. Anyway, blessings to everybody. I'm going to end the show in the usual way, and that's something that I believe that we all have, and that is a guardian angel. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. Good night, and God bless everyone. Thanks again to our troops.
you grow and make your way on through the world. She'll be a softer light to guide you on your way, instilling bits of wisdom like arrows in your quiver to help with all the challenges. Higher than